Live from the Geyer Studio, where combatants battle for the glory of cinema. This is Cinema Wars with your host DJ Ace, only here on WMCO. Welcome to another round of Cinema Wars. I'm DJ Ace, and I am the host of Cinema Wars. Cinema Wars is the game show, podcast, whatever you want to call it, where people, what's the word? People enthusiastic about cinema come together, and I provide a question, and all three contestants will come at me with an answer, and then I will pick one of them based on their argument and discussion at the end. So stay tuned, because that will happen in about the next 30 minutes or so. So now to meet your contestants, we have Matt, Anna, and Johnny. Say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up?
Cool. And so the inspiration for this week's question comes to something I saw online earlier last week. And that is, they released a video of Mad Max Fury Road footage without any special effects added, just to show how much practical effects were used in the production of that film. So the question is, what is the movie with the best practical effects? Dun, dun, dun. So that is your question for tonight, and we will get started, because Matt, you are going first. What movie did you pick?
Well, I've had this answer for about a year and a half, ever since it came out. Mad Max Fury Road.
No way, man! Did not see that coming.
I didn't know you were going to talk about it in the opening.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny, what did you pick?
I picked Wizard of Oz. Old school, but...
Wizard Oz.
The original. Definitely not the remake.
Oldie. I don't know. I like James Franco. All right. I need some good James Franco in my life.
That was all CGI, though. The new one.
Yeah, the new one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And Anna, what did you pick?
Dark Knight.
Okay. All righty. So those are the answers, and we will begin the discussion of which one is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
All right, so to begin, Mad Max Fury Road came out last year. I forget what month it came. Probably like May or something of 2015.
Probably.
But the movie was just fantastic. Practical effects were all over the place. There's barely any CGI in it. All like the car chases were the actual car chases. No CGI really went into them besides putting in some hills on either side so they could actually maneuver around and get the shots that they wanted. But, all the explosions were authentic. You know, they did them all. It's kind of really fascinating that they actually had the budget to do it, but also they had the dedication to get the shot, and they were brave enough to actually, put their lives in danger just to get the shots and everything. They did a lot of cool stuff with guys just hanging off the sides of the cars and stuff, and they had a lot of different ropes and stuff like hanging on and stuff, and they came up with, I think, a lot of equipment to make it, to pull it off, I guess. But it was really cool to see, I guess, all the different things that they did. But that's all I have right now.
And let us not forget flaming guitar.
Yeah, I know, that's pretty tight.
So. Flaming electric guitar. I want one. I need one in my life. I really do. And we cannot forget that Mad Max Fury Road won 6 out of 10 nominations at the Oscars last year.
It did.
So that's kind of absurd. All right, Johnny, what do you want to say about Wizard of Oz?
All right, we know that it was one of the first movies created with Technicolor, which means that in its own time it was revolutionary, and this was also a time when CGI was not capable, so none of the stunning visuals that you see in this film are CG, because it was not capable at that time. A lot of other films take similar aspects, like the backgrounds, and it's completely totally CG that now, but everything was done in non-CGI. Like, if you watch the new Charlie and Chocolate Factory, all of the little munchkins or whatever they are in Charlie's Chocolate Factory, they're all CG. It's one person. But in Wizard of Oz, they're all actual individual people instead of having to pay one person to do it. The Tin Man, the lion, the costumes, like every single thing in that movie was not CGI. And it's still to this day one of the most visually stunning movies we have. I will say probably, even though Mad Max is a brilliant movie, more people have seen Wizard of Oz than Mad Max. And it's more of a favorite to more people.
Cat videos. I just want to say cat videos online get more views than maybe like a video, like an artsy, smartsy short film on Vimeo. So just throwing that out there. So it's more, those are more well known than like other things. So just ahead.
There's one cool thing though. There's actually a conspiracy theory. I believe it's The Dark Side of the Moon or something. You can play it while you're watching Wizard of Oz, and the soundtrack matches what's going on. So there's some trippy conspiracy theories about that, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, Anna, what you got for me?
Okay, well, the first thing that kind of jumped out at me why I picked The Dark Knight is the scene, the hospital explosion. Because I know that, I guess there was like sort of a mishap there or something, and it was delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it exploded later, and I guess Heath Ledger really like improvised with that. And I think just like the using the practical CGIs there, like I think it really made that scene like a lot better as opposed to just like having that in afterwards. Because like the in the moment thing really kind of like sparked that improvision. So I thought that was really cool. And then like the chase scene on the motorcycle, is that I think that's Dark Knight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, which one?
Good question.
On the bat cycle, right?
Yeah, that. Yeah. I don't know the technical terms, but I thought that was really well done. I'm pretty sure that was all practical effects, too.
Yeah.
And just the whole movie just looked really good overall.
Chris Nolan doesn't like to use many VFX in his movies, so I respect that a lot.
Exactly.
but I do want to say that although he didn't really use any VFX, the director in Mad Max, he does know when to use VFX to work really well with the practical effects to make it even more like a bigger scale than Chicago. I know Chicago is a pretty great place to shoot a movie and stuff for the Dark Knight to make it look like Gotham and everything, but you go out into the desert and it's a great place to make a very grand, epic-looking movie. All he did was throw in CGI there to make those mountains and everything. The actual practical effects, I mean, you know, he had tons of explosions everywhere, and those are all real explosions. They weren't just...
Not as real as the one that accidentally went off and then they ended up using in the actual movie. I mean, well, that was both, pretty.
I mean,
I understand, like, real.
I mean,
like,
I really respect that it was improvised because they had, a hiccup in the production for The Dark Knight, but the explosions in Mad Max are all deliberate. So I mean, I guess that is something that the technical team perfected in Mad Max compared to the team on The Dark Knight.
But doesn't the fact that like it did go off at a weird time make it almost more impressive and more realistic? I'm air quoting realistic
here.
Yeah,
but I mean, like for the skill of the, you know, all the special effects team, I think just their department alone, I think Mad Max did a better job because they weren't planning that to happen in The Dark Knight. The fact that it didn't happen on time, I think, made it better. But I think that the skill of the people, I'm not trying to criticize the actual people who worked on the movie because I don't know how to do any of that stuff. But I mean, I think that, you know, I just like that all the shots in Mad Max were intentional all the way through.
But you have to ask sometimes, are things that are unintentional the best things? Because there's scenes of Leonardo DiCaprio actually cutting himself that turned into the best cinematic moments ever.
In Django, yeah. But I mean,
happy accident.
We're talking about special effects here, just special effects, practical effects that are, you know, when you have them in a big budget movie, they take up most of the budget besides the VFX. So if you mess up on a very big budget practical effect, that could send the production back 3 months, you know, hypothetically speaking. So I think it's better to be efficient on those practical effects and mess up other places to make it more interesting. But although, I mean, it's been done well before. Mistakes are good things in art. But I think that If I was going to go out and make it, like get a team together, I'd go for the team that worked on Mad Max, Fury Road.
You know what's interesting to me is, at what point did we stop calling, at what point did we start calling special effects practical effects? Like, there's some sort of weird transition there.
It is still special effects, and visual effects are two different things.
I know, but...
But they merged them in the Oscars, which is kind of...
it's weird.
It's kind of disrespectful, because those are two different parts of the production, so...
And that, and then those two words are interchangeable, and
it's
annoying. Confusing.
Yeah.
What confused me. I was like, practical effects, special effects. What are they talking about?
Visual effects, digital effects,
what?
CG.
Is there a difference between all these?
It's all the same. It makes movies.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny. Wizard of Oz.
All right. Well, as we know, like I said, Wizard of Oz was one of the first Technicolor films ever created. It is known for its stunning visuals. It's known for its creative cast and creative thing. Everything in that movie is just totally creative. Like, if you look at even The Horse of Every Color, that was almost impossible to do with no CG. That, and then it's either the ASPCA or PETA or whatever got down on them saying they weren't allowed to use, like, paint on the horse. So they had to improvise yet again. And decided to like paint this horse with like fruit and like gelatin. So in The Wizard of Oz, they were like super resourceful. I don't know if they had the budget that Mad Max or Dark Knight had or anything like that, but they
70-year difference.
So. Yeah. Probably for its time.
Inflation. Yeah.
They were very, very resourceful, because that proves that they had ideas of how they wanted things done, and then they had to go around and redo it.
Like, that goes with it being deliberate, and I think that's what's really, really great about Mad Max and also Wizard of Oz. They're both deliberately crafted into how they want the shots to be, and that's something I think The Dark Knight kind of lacked with that scene.
Okay, quit picking on that particular scene. The overall movie, and
I mean, I'm just you know,
good effects too.
Oh,
like
I loved
chase
it.
Scene that's and like
the Dark Knight's like one of my favorite movies.
Like
so
the,
I, you know, it's hard to really
like the Batcave. I think that I don't know.
You mean in Batcave wasn't
was
in?
That? It wasn't. Oh, I don't
it
know.
It got blown up in Batman Begins, and then
I get them confused.
Yeah, I mean, I liked his lair in
I mean, technically,
Dark
wherever
Knight.
Batman is his Bat Cave. So
yeah, I mean, I liked the.
Oh
yeah,
I think I'm thinking of the one in Dark Knight Rises. That was my bad.
But I liked the temporary Bat Cave in The Dark Knight. I thought it was pretty sweet. But
like the, I don't even know what it's called. Like the laboratory where like all the equipment is and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. Yeah. That was all for real. Like I watched the behind the scenes, and it was all.
Yeah.
They showed like the gun shooting and stuff, like when he was testing out the bullets in the wall, different kinds of walls or something, to see what bullet would go through and stuff or whatever. And it was just really cool because like they had Chris Nolan there, and Christian Bale there, like as they're doing it. Like, usually those actors are off the scene when they do anything that's kind of dangerous. I mean, even those little things, he was there for, I think, a lot of the, you know, a lot of his action work. So back to Mad Max, though, I think that you know, Tom Hardy, he did a lot of his practical effects work as well. Like they held him upside down, dangling out of a car, and they had like him strapped up with ropes, but mainly that one girl, like the basic the protagonist, I forget her name.
Furiosa was the character.
Okay, so we'll just call her Fury then.
It was Charlize Theron.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
She was like holding him up, like she had to look like she was actually holding him up, or like holding on to him so he wouldn't fall off. And you could tell like they didn't the strings and like the ropes didn't take all of his weight away from her, so she still had to hold on to him. And like you could see like she was still exerting a lot of force, like, and you could tell in like her facial expressions that she was really struggling there. So I guess for the director's standpoint, I think that was a great thing. You know, they worked really well in both the practical effects and the directing, like departments work really well together and stuff. So
the question I have with that, though, that sounds more like the actors being awesome, not necessarily the effects.
Yeah, that's
no,
kind of
not really. I mean, that's a practical effect, though. You got because the ropes are holding him in place, but they deliberately made sure that they weren't completely holding him in place so that the actor would have to hold on to him. And so, like, instead of acting, it was actually her trying to hold on to him. It wasn't just him. It wasn't just her pretending to hold on to him. Like, he was safe the entire time, but she still had to act like she was pulling up his weight. And so that sense of, you know, fear was still there. That was kind of cool.
And don't forget she had a robotic arm.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
I still don't understand how they do that crap.
Yeah. And at one point,
robots, man.
And that one scene where they're, that motorcycle guy, he jumps over the truck that's going through that valley. That was all real, besides the explosion that went onto the truck. They threw that in because they didn't want to kill the guy in midair who was supposed to throw the grenade down. But
yeah.
But he legit, like, this guy jumped over the moving truck. And you know, at any second, he could have been killed. But it was really fantastic. Like, all the set design was in place. All they had to do was, of course, just throw in some color correction, and you have the scene of the final movie. So it's pretty cool. And the explosion.
And that's why stunt people make a lot more money than I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Anna, let's talk about something. Dark Knight Rises has... Dark Knight, sorry. You see, too many knights around here, man. All right. Dark Knight has the bank scene, the opening sequence where the Joker robs that bank. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while.
Well, I mean, like, did they really back in a school bus into that bank? Is that for real?
I feel like it is.
Yeah.
And they, like, propelled down the zip line.
Okay, oh, yeah, they did. They did that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a thing.
The Batmobile was definitely real.
Like when it blew up?
Mm-hmm. Or the car was real, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But just, like, all the movements with, like, the bike, though, is what I'm really remembering. Like, it just looked really good.
Yeah, they had to actually go in at each scene to... reconfigure the motorcycle.
It couldn't steer,
it could barely steer. Like
it couldn't.
At, like, for sharp turns, it couldn't. Its tires really couldn't flip like that.
Yeah.
So they went back.
Boxy, and so
they
went back and they were aligning
them.
It. Everything was just aligned in its own thing.
I thought that was pretty cool. Like, so, yeah, very.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, they spent months just working on the design for the Batmobile and the Bat motorcycle. The Bat Cycle, whatever you want to call it.
The Bat Bike.
Bat bike.
I like the Bat Bike. I'm going to call it that from now on.
Oh, the scene with the semi-truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
The tunnel chase, right?
Okay, yeah, that. All right.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. It was really good.
I haven't seen this movie in a while.
I remember researching that.
It's fair.
And I believe they said that all the explosions during that scene were... accurate and true as well.
I'm talking about, like, the semi truck just flipping over. Like, that was for real too. Like, when they actually flipped it in Chicago completely over, and Chris Nolan and his practical stunt team, Christian Bale? What did I say?
You're right. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. I mean, well, Chris,
don't mind me.
Yeah. Chris Nolan and his team, they got toy cars, went into, like, some building on the side. And they actually had to talk it out, because even, like, the writing was, like, it was a very complex scene, and how they were going to tie Batman's ropes around all the different wheels
exactly.
And stuff.
When you started talking about toy cars, it made me think of, like, the toy helicopter from Sharknado.
Cool.
All right, then.
But yeah. That's right. What came to mind.
I want to hear some more about the Wizard of Oz old school.
All right. Like I said. It was in a time when CG was not possible. So in that level, it's in something of its complete own. It had to figure out how to do everything from scratch. This was one of the first times they had effects in color. So trying to figure out how to get, like, the ruby red slippers and everything to be exactly what they wanted, to be shiny. They had to have Dorothy appear younger. The tornado outside the window. Try imagining how to do that without any CGI. it may not be the most like visually stunning today with all the technology we have, but you have to take in comparison to when it was made. Look at what they had available, what they were capable of doing, how revolutionary it was in its time, and compare that in terms of it. So think of it more in relative.
With that said, what I like about Mad Max is that they have a version of Mad Max Fury Road in black and white, kind of paying homage to, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah. And I haven't seen it yet, but like I really do want to see it. Like
the original's not in black and white.
No, but they're like paying homage back to, you know, black and white movies and that whole era of movies. And I think it's, you know, there's something to be remembered about black and white movies, and to make sure that we still optimize black and white footage, because it does take it gets across a different feel for an entire production, and it looks, the screenshots I've seen of Mad Max Fury Road in black and white look even better than they do in color.
Is it true black and white or like sepia black and white?
I'm pretty sure it's true black and white. Yeah. Also, Wizard of Oz was not the first movie in color.
I said one of the first.
Yeah. There's one other before it. I forget what it was.
I think, but that's the one that everyone knows.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was still. Yeah.
But it was still one. It was still the most visually stunning at the time.
Subjective. I'm kidding. I agree.
And I don't remember how many like awards it won, but it as well did win.
Oh, yeah.
Awards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It cleaned out when it came out in like 1943.
I don't remember. All I know is that
it's old.
Yeah.
It's old, and I know that as a kid I would watch it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a similar experience that a lot of children have.
Were there flying monkeys in that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that part freaked me out.
I kind of forgot about the monkeys, not going to lie.
Yeah, see, like, I remember they're like flying beasts, and I remember they're monkeys.
Yeah, and they were non-CG flying monkeys.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. So
that and the voice of the witch, if you think about how it's not like audio edited at all, just her creating that cringe-worthy voice.
Yeah, yeah.
that is what we call the awkward silence.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, I still think, you know, you go back to Mad Max Fury Road and you have the main villain. That was for real, too. Like, they did I just watched this behind the scenes, and they did a before and after shot of him doing his scene with, like, his creepy voice. Exactly the same. Like, there was no meddling with his voice or anything. They didn't change his voice at all. So, oh man, the makeup department did a great job in that movie too.
Oh yeah, didn't they get that Oscar?
Yeah, they did.
I think so too. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Man,
there's like a makeup Oscar.
Yeah,
it's
costume
like
design.
Best costume design.
Oh, that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
Yeah, crazy. What a brilliant day! What was it?
What a day! What a lovely day!
Yeah, what a lovely, lovely day! Lovely, lovely, yeah, lovely day.
Then going back to the bus scene, I think I heard that they had to like assemble that inside the building or something like that. I don't know. That's all I had.
All right, buses cool. And buildings, everybody.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's interesting. We've been talking about practical effects for a little bit here, and we will finish that discussion momentarily. But just to kind of go on an offshoot here, sometimes CG is totally unnecessary and something that. It's a totally useful tool. And like you talked about the dropping the bomb on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something I was thinking about. Think of how you will of this movie, but in Terminator 3, they flip a giant crane rig. Like it's like this giant 18-wheeler with a crane on it. Mm-hmm. They flip that in the movie. But then they realized they couldn't actually flip a crane rig, so they CG it.
I guess that's safer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, also they didn't want to buy the rig.
Right, yeah. That was
yeah, so, you know, sometimes CG is just completely necessary.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to put anyone's life in obvious harm.
Obvious harm.
Speaking of CG, I just remember the first Terminator movie.
Oh my gosh, that movie was something else. That was that's some pretty good practical effects in there too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, except they actually had to animate the Terminator.
Yeah,
when he was just the skeleton, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez, like, that probably took forever.
It was like so bad.
Yeah, man.
Gosh. Oh jeez.
I've not actually seen the entire third movie,
Terminator 3.
Yeah.
Traitor.
I don't mind Terminator 3. It keeps the timeline together better than Terminator 5.
I love Salvation, though. I thought the Salvation...
Salvation was good, and it also held to the timeline pretty well. But Terminator 5...
How many Terminators are there?
Five.
Oh. Genesis came out last year.
Yeah. Why did they do that movie, though? Like, why didn't they just end it?
Like well, all right, that with a lot if of you things. Look at the timeline, yeah. The natural progression was the fifth movie had to be the story of Kyle Reese going back in time. Because right. That's where number one started.
Or they could have kept following Connor's son. What's his name? Christian Bale.
Batman.
No.
Batman.
they could keep following her kid's story and, you know, let her die off and actually follow him trying to actually save the human race. They didn't have to go back in time again.
Well, John Connor does save the human race in the future.
How? Like, did they show it yet? I didn't...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Number five was supposed to be the final battle with Skynet. And
right, exactly.
Saving humanity.
Yeah.
Which it kind of was.
That sucks.
Yeah. But that's a discussion for another day.
Like, yeah.
Worst time travel movie. Next week on Cinema Wars.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I think that's a good idea.
I do think it's a good idea, too.
Yeah. Oh, it could happen. We'll find out. Okay. So we need to come to a conclusion here, inevitably. So we have Johnny with the Wizard of Oz Old School, we have Anna with the Dark Knight, and we have Matt with Mad Max on the Fury Road.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So much fury. So little time.
We will drink in the halls of Valhalla.
Much fury.
It's a lovely, lovely day. Oh, man. Okay. Well, after examining your arguments, I will have to decide that. Anna, you're out.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Before this began.
I'm sorry. That's what happens. Gosh. All right. Between Matt and Johnny. I mean, I like that you took it a different direction, picking an old movie. Mm-hmm. That was pretty clever. And then you did the thing with the light effects, and it looks crazy. And
the one that's really popular right now.
So are cat videos.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Well, I have... I am going to choose the winner, and I'm going to have to give it with the old girl, because... of being a pioneer in practical effects way back in the day.
Yeah.
So
I feel it.
That is, I'm picking Johnny. Congratulations, you
Yay!
Won.
Calm yeah. down.
All right.
I'm
so
excited. I'm crying. I'm looking forward now, to this.
That concludes this
They're
round.
Special effects.
They're Cinema Wars.
I put up an attempted fight.
You did. And we will be back next week on Monday at 10 in the evening on WMCO 90.7.
Yay.
Next time on Cinema Wars, what is the best Western film? The views and opinions expressed on Cinema Wars are not associated with Muskingum University, Orbit Media, WMCO, Orbit TV, and the Black and Magenta. The war is far from over. Tune in next week at 10 in the evening here on WMCO 90.7 for the next round of Cinema Wars.